Today, newspapers from India to Indiana carry remembrances of late-night legend Johnny Carson, the art he perfected, the comedians he introduced, the great moments, and the man himself. For the rest of the program, we want to hear from you. If you have a special story about Johnny Carson, was there a particular show that influenced you, a moment you will never forget? Our phone number, of course, is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. You can also send us email, TOTN at NPR.org. It wouldn't be fair to start this segment without a few words from the man himself from one of his famous opening monologues.
In the paper today, a woman in Michigan, I don't know the city, so she was arrested for soliciting sexual favors. That's the way they put it in the paper. Sexual favors for spaghetti dinners. You can't make this kind of stuff up. Apparently, she never asked a man for money. All she wanted was this, a spaghetti dinner. My question, technically, wouldn't that make her a prostitute?
If you really want to remember Johnny Carson, the place to be this week is the Elkhorn Valley Museum in Norfolk, Nebraska. Carson grew up in Norfolk, and the town now boasts an exhaustive collection of his memorabilia. And we're joined now from Norfolk, Nebraska, by Cheryl Schmeckpepper, the president of the Elkhorn Valley Historical Society. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
I understand you originally contacted Johnny Carson about making a donation to the exhibit.
Yes, I did. It was actually late summer of 2001. I wrote him a very simple letter just stating that we wanted to create an exhibit in his honor. And that was in August of 2001. And as you know, 9/11 happened a couple weeks later. And it was late October of 2001 that Mr. Carson called me here at work and told me that he was going to be closing his office and was basically going to be sending us everything.
Everything?
Everything.
Like what?
Like his six Emmys. And his Presidential Medal of Freedom, his Kennedy Center honors, magazine covers, just a whole plethora of items. In fact, we have an 1,100-square-foot exhibit dedicated to Mr. Carson, and that doesn't hold everything. We have a lot of the items that are stored that we bring out about once a year, usually in the fall, and to complete the exhibit. So we're pretty excited to have all that.
So you've got Karnak's cape and all that stuff?
We have some of that. We actually have a life-size mannequin of Carson on a stage and with a monologue that when you step into a particular area, the spotlight goes on and the monologue starts, and that plays in the background. We also have what we call a theater, which is actually just a big screen TV and a couch so people can come and sit down and put on some headsets and just watch the video of his shows on a continuous loop. So we have people who will come and spend hours at the museum just sitting there laughing to the old Carson shows.
Here's an email we got from Laura Thomas, who writes that she's a member of KSTX, Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. I was fortunate to be able to attend a taping of The Tonight Show in the early 1970s. During the monologue, when Johnny delivered what he thought would be the get the biggest laugh line, the audience remained dead silent. He gave that adorable, puzzled look that he could do so well that he walked to the edge of the stage, turned around and looked up at the applause sign. Yes, there really was one. Then he looked back to the audience and said, "Folks, that says applause, not applesauce." That got the laugh. To this day, I cannot see the word applesauce without thinking of Johnny and smiling.
You know, I think so many people have such fond memories of Johnny Carson. You know, there's a generation out there that watched him every night, and basically, as the saying goes, went to bed with Johnny Carson.
Mm-hmm.
He was a remarkable man and a great comedian. That was, you know, great humor, just really clean, fun humor. And it's the end of an era with his passing.
Let's go to a caller. Caroline is with us from Olathe, Kansas.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to say that, first of all, my uncle happens to have the exact same birthday as Mr. Carson. I remember he would point that out to us every time we're at his house, which is funny. But I remember my husband said, "Well, how come you were really little when you used to watch?" I said, "Well, yeah, we'd sneak out of bed and crawl under where our parents couldn't see us, and we'd watch it, you know, because it was on at like 10:30. But I am impressed that he could deliver a monologue, no cussing, no, you know, he was very, very gentlemanly, and that has always impressed me for years after. I can't see another comedian ever touching what he could have had accomplished in that time.
Hmm. It's funny. We have an email from Tina Hillman in Lexington, South Carolina. I remember as a child hearing that Tonight Show theme seemed so grown up. If you were up late enough to hear it, you were either in big trouble or you were really up dangerously late. All the kids knew that the pajama party or the sleepover was really cool if we made it to that theme song and beyond. As an adult, I saw Mr. Carson as a very gracious to his guests, and I'm thankful for the show that gave many innovative and creative artists a start. Thanks, Johnny. We'll all miss you. I guess a lot of people remember getting, if you stayed up that late, boy, were you sophisticated.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember that growing up when I was a child. If you got to stay up late enough to watch, you know, the opening monologue, that was quite an accomplishment. So,
if you got the jokes in the opening monologue.
That was also quite an accomplishment. So, yeah. And he was very much a gentleman, you know, and, you know, he was certainly very generous to the community of Norfolk. He's donated millions of dollars to different entities here in Norfolk. So he was not only kind and gracious, but very generous also. So we have lost a favorite son, that's for sure.
Was that just the donation of his memorabilia, or did he do other things for his hometown?
Oh, beginning in 1988, he has given to the, well, we have the Cancer Radiation Center that's associated with our hospital is named for his parents because he has given, I don't know, probably millions of dollars to that. He gave $1 million to our college to build a lifelong learning center. He, a couple of years ago, gave $500,000 to our library for its endowment fund. He's given, he gave $100,000 a few years ago to the museum when we were building our building, $100,000 to the art center, $100,000 to the senior citizen center, beginning in probably 1988 up until just a few years ago. Every now and then we'd have this little surprise and somebody would get a check from Johnny Carson. So,
I'm surprised you haven't changed the name of the town.
Well, you know, there's been some discussion about that. And actually, we have Johnny Carson Boulevard, we have Johnny Carson Theater, we have the Carson Radiation Center. You know, we probably, if there was a, we probably have talked about changing the name of the town. He's been very generous to this community, so we're just forever indebted to him and for all of his generosity.
Let's get another caller on the line. Joe is with us from San Antonio.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
I only have to say one thing about Mr. Carson. It was one of his jokes. He was doing Karnak. He holds the envelope up to his forehead and says, "Sis boom ba." With that deadpan face, he opens up the envelope and, "What do you hear when a sheep explodes?" And it was still one of the funniest things. I can still laugh about it today. And that's, what, 30 years ago?
30 years ago. I think my favorite one, I think this may be just an acquired memory, but I think I was actually watching the famous night that Ed Ames threw the tomahawk and
that's
hit.
That's another one, yeah.
Hit the, there was a cutout of, Ed Ames was in a Western. He was playing an Indian on a Western TV show at the time.
Oh, yes.
Hit with the tomahawk of the crotch of the cutout figure on stage. What was absolutely totally funny. Funny, of course, was the fact that on the couch there in the studio was also Myron Cohen, the famous Jewish comedian, a veteran of the Sour Cream Sierras. And after the laughter died down, he turned and says, "Ed, I didn't know you were Jewish."
Yes. Well, thank you very much. I miss him very dearly, and sure we all will.
Thanks very much, Joe. Is the museum going to be doing anything, as far as you know, to, well, this is a poignant moment.
It is. It really is. Yes, as of right now, the museum is planning to be open late, a couple nights this week. And actually, the city of Norfolk, and I'm involved in that, is putting together a memorial service or program. We don't have the exact time and date for that established. We're still working out some of those details. But in fact, I'm supposed to go to a meeting in about 5 minutes to finalize some of those plans. So the community as a whole, we'll get together and we'll have an opportunity to remember Mr. Carson, and the people who were touched most deeply by him will have an opportunity to say a few words about him. Like I said, we don't have all the details worked out, but there's been a huge outpouring of people who have been calling and wanting to share memories and wanting to know where they can send flowers and that type of thing. So, and the fact, as far as I know, that there's not going to be any kind of memorial service for him in California. So we want to do something here to recognize his contribution to Norfolk.
Let's get another caller on the line. Pete joins us from Bogue Island, North Carolina.
Hi, Neil. Thanks for taking my call.
Uh-huh.
This is a great show, by the way, and a tribute to Mr. Carson. This was something my dad intimated to me many times. Right after Mr. Carson took over from Jack Parr, I believe it was either 62 or 63, one of his first guests was Robert Kennedy. And I don't know if they worked this out ahead of time, but my dad used to tell me that he remembered Robert Kennedy comes on, sits down, Carson turns to him and says, "Wow, how does it feel to have such a famous brother?" And he says Robert Kennedy smiled and said, "I don't know, you'll have to ask the president." And so I thought, considering my dad said it was so poignant because the baby brother being a named attorney general, everyone was still buzzing about that, and Robert Kennedy knew that. So when he comes out and he says, "I don't know, you'll have to ask the president," my dad always said that was the most hilarious thing he thought Carson ever did as far as interviewing a political figure. So I just want to let you guys know it, and God bless Johnny Carson, and what he did for our country is immeasurable. And thanks, Neil.
Thanks, Pete. Appreciate the call. Carson himself always said his favorite moments were spontaneous, unplanned, like that misaimed tomahawk, or this awkward encounter on the couch between Shelley Winters and Annie Potts as Annie Potts tried to remind Shelley Winters that they had once been in a movie together.
We did. We did a picture together.
Yeah.
What was it? I did this to Paul Newman, so
you
it's
did?
All right.
Oh, it's okay, okay. Right. We did a film called King of the Gypsies together.
Of course, and you were wonderful in it.
You were.
That takes guts, but you got away with it.
Yes, I remember the date of that one. I know when that was.
So you actually worked together. That's fun.
Yes.
She didn't remember.
Well, we didn't have any scenes together, did we?
The graveyard in New Jersey, remember
that?
Oh,
that's right. We were only there a week or 10 days.
Hardly long enough to remember anybody.
I was the one standing next to you.
But you were holding an umbrella?
Yes, that's it!
The late Johnny Carson. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And still with us is Cheryl Schmeckpepper of the Elkhorn Valley Historical Society, where much of Johnny Carson's memorabilia is stored and put on display. Let's get another caller on the line, and this is Tom. Tom's with us from Kansas City.
Hi, Neil.
Hi.
Neil, I'm an ordinary citizen, not a celebrity, but I missed my chance to be on the Johnny Carson show. I almost certainly would have been on.
What was your claim to fame to get on the Carson show?
About 15 years ago, the NBC Nightly News with Tom Brokaw featured an opening logo of the Earth turning, with the continents coming around and coming in view. I noticed that they, through some ghastly mistake, they had the Earth turning the wrong way.
No.
And knowing Carson was an astronomy buff, I meant to write him a letter and call this to his attention because I thought he would get a kick out of it, and I put it off and put it off until finally, I don't know, it may have been a couple of months, somebody else brought it to his attention, and that person was invited onto the show.
Ah, so you missed your big chance.
So I missed the chance to be on the Johnny Carson show.
Or even on As the World Turns.
Well, perhaps so. Who knows? I tell you, one of the most charming incidents was when he had Ozzie Nelson on. Ozzie Nelson came on and said that every state had had a song dedicated to it except North Dakota, and he played the ukulele and sang Underneath the North Dakota Moon. It was simply charming. I wish they would replay it.
Well, maybe you can see that. Do you have all of the Carson shows there at the museum?
Yeah, we do. We have them on a continuous loop that that runs in our theater. So, yeah, there's quite a few that we run periodically. So, And a lot of the monologues, too, like I said, that come on when on the stage. So it's a good place to come and listen to Carson.
Tom, thanks very much.
Thank you, Neil.
Bye-bye. One last caller, and this will be Karen. Karen's calling from Portsmouth, Ohio.
Hi there.
Hi.
I love your show, by the way.
Thank you.
I was just calling because I really love the way Johnny listened to his guests, and he would have people on, and like Jimmy Stewart one night, it just caught my breath when Jimmy Stewart would come on and read a poem. And one night he read a story about a poem that he had written about his dog that passed away. They panned over and they showed Johnny Carson. He was crying. He was wiping away his tears because it just touched him.
A man unafraid to show his emotions.
That's true.
Yeah. Karen, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
And Cheryl Schmeckpepper, we wanted to thank you for your time today. As you say, you're going off to discuss what kind of observance to have there in Norfolk, Nebraska. Good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
Cheryl Schmeckpepper is president of the Elkhorn Valley Historical Society. We'll leave you with Johnny Carson and Bette Midler singing Johnny's favorite song. This is from the final Tonight Show broadcast with Johnny Carson, broadcast May 21st, 1992.
Funny, but here's that rainy day. Here's that rainy day they told me about. And I laughed at the thought that it might turn out this way. Where is that worn out wish that I threw aside after it brought my love so near? Funny how love becomes a cold, rainy day. Funny that rainy day is here.
In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.